The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure you remember the account of David and Goliath. Goliath, the large and powerful champion of the Philistines, had challenged the Israelite army, saying, "Why have you come out drawn up for battle? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." For 40 days, Goliath came forward and issued his challenge, morning and evening. Finally, David, then just a young shepherd boy visiting the army's camp, volunteered to meet Goliath. And with his sling, a smooth stone, and a firm trust in the Lord, slew the Philistine giant. Representing all of Israel, he defeated the Philistine champion, and their army was routed. This dynamic, one representative confronting another in battle, with the outcome determining the fate of a whole people, is one we see in action in the scripture readings this morning. That day in the garden, when Satan deceived Eve and Adam followed her in turning away from God, caused an enduring tragedy to afflict the human race. By failing to follow what the Lord had said, Adam and Eve brought estrangement from God and death to paradise, where before there had only been life, blessed communion and harmony with God, where everything had been very good. The Lord describes the enduring consequences of their sin very clearly. Childbirth would become a painful ordeal. The perfect and joyous partnership of marriage would now be subject to dissatisfaction, even resentment. Work would become a burdensome thing, life a struggle, and death a certain and unavoidable reality. As Moses would later summarize it, "The years of our life are but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. For, as the Lord says, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Ever since Adam and Eve, sorrow, sickness, and ultimately death have been the common experience of all of their descendants. It is, as St. Paul summarized it, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death separated all men, because all sinned. So it was century after century, down through the millennia, until God sent his champion, the promised offspring of the woman, onto the field to fight against the enemy of humanity on behalf of all humanity. That's what was going on when the Spirit of God led Jesus up into the wilderness after he was baptized. It was God's will that Jesus face temptations from Satan, face them in order to overcome them for all people. Matthew records the thrust and parry of this battle. Satan's strategy was as it was in the garden. He endeavors to separate from God the one who trusts in him, the person who depends on God being gracious and loving. When Jesus was hungry after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil reminded Jesus of his status as the Son of God and suggested that he ought to provide food for himself. 41 days before this, Jesus had heard his Father's voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." He trusted his Father. He was confident that God would take care of him, confident God would provide him with everything he needed. For Jesus to do as the devil had suggested and take matters into his own hands would be to doubt God's provision. This Jesus would not do. He rejected the devil's temptation with a word from God. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus was content with what God would give and say. He didn't need to take matters into his own hands. God's Spirit had led him out into the wilderness so he would endure this time of hunger in patient trust. Satan, zero. Jesus won for you and for me. But the devil didn't give up. Again, he invited Jesus to prove his divine sonship. He said, in effect, "If you are really God's Son, and he is truly well pleased with you, throw yourself down from the temple. After all, you trust God, don't you? And he's promised to have his angels take care of you. That's what the scriptures say. He has commanded his angels to bear you up in their hands so that you don't even stub your toe against a stone." But Jesus understands the deceit in this temptation. To love and trust God means you don't have to, and would never think of, conducting an experiment on him. That would reveal a lack of love and a lack of faith. Once again, Jesus responded with words from Deuteronomy, dealing with Israel's time in the wilderness after the Lord had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. He said, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Score? Satan 0, Jesus 2, for you and for me. Yet the devil is nothing if not persistent. He promises Jesus the world if only he will make this one very small compromise. Just bow down to me. That's all it'll take. I'll renounce every claim I have on earth. This perhaps is the temptation most similar to the one by which the devil defeated Eve. The devil offers a promise of enormous benefits for just one single deviation from God's word, and makes no mention of the tragic and universal consequences in which this single sin would result. No Savior, no forgiveness, no salvation, no heaven. But Jesus refuses to turn away from the Father, refuses to give the worship and praise which belong to God alone to the devil. Instead, he says, "Be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Score, Satan 0, Jesus 3, for you and me. You can't help but notice a pattern. In the face of each temptation, Jesus is victorious. But these temptations in the wilderness weren't the end of the contest. Where Matthew writes, the devil left him, Luke adds, until an opportune time. This was only the first great battle. Satan, with the craftiness of a serpent, would keep on trying to succeed, until Jesus finally stomped on his head and stopped him once and for all by dying and rising again. The movie, The Passion of the Christ, which came out nearly 20 years ago, did a good job of portraying the devil's continuing temptations of Jesus. The devil was shown to be always present, subtly trying to get Jesus to turn aside from his saving work, never ceasing from his temptations until Jesus had fully paid the price of sin, declared his work completed, and given up his spirit. Again and again, Satan tempted Jesus during his time of ministry, but Jesus was steadfast. He never let any temptation turn him against his Father. Never let any hardship or enticement cause him to sin. But we shouldn't miss the final phrase of our text. After the devil left Jesus, angels came and were ministering to him. The word for ministering here is one which is used in Scripture of serving food. Jesus' trust was not misplaced. He didn't need to make bread from stones. According to his good pleasure, and at the proper time, Jesus' loving Father provided him with food and sent his angels to take care of him. On this first Sunday in Lent, the final outcome of the battle is clearly foreshadowed. Against the champion whom God himself elected, the old satanic foe, whose might we could not match, and to which we have so often fallen, is overcome. Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, holds the field victorious. Though Satan still prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, his might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues Satan. That word, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be overcome. And he has promised, "I am with you always, to to the end of the age. With God's champion by our side, fighting for us, it doesn't matter how bad things get. As Luther put it, were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they, that is the devil and his army, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. The kingdom is yours. It's yours because Jesus confronted Satan for all of humanity and was victorious. Jesus' success in facing every temptation without ever sinning means that when God looks at those who trust in him, he sees his own beloved children cleansed and redeemed, heirs of heaven. Tribulation and temptation, failure and sin will continue to afflict us as long as we are in this world. But the eternal outcome has been determined. In the end, Satan will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, and Jesus will gather all of his redeemed into the eternal joys of his heavenly kingdom, saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." You are his. He has saved you. You can count on it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.